bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks, lots and lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, my two favorites. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And with that, we bring in the phenomenal. He, I think, hits a draw into every hole. Nate Bauer.
That's pretty accurate. I think it's a draw most of the time. What's going on?
Well, it's funny because Jack Ham and I were playing Sonny Hanna earlier this week. You'll love this story. I don't know. This is one of those. Nate, I had a good drive. So I'm about maybe 152 out, I think they said. So I took a 9-iron. And Jack says to me, you know, it's his, you know, he's a member. He says the key is hit it to the right side, and he says he'll go down to the green. Well, I'm left-handed, okay? And I hit a draw. So I take it, and I go left to right, comes down, right? And it, I don't know, I'm 2 feet from the hole, all right?
There
you
go.
And he looks at me, he says, well, that's another way to do it.
Where is my invitation to Sonny Hanna with Steve Jones and Jack Kim? I'm wondering. What are we doing here?
I will take you down if you want to go. Absolutely.
I'm in.
You know what's great when you go in there? I know we'll get to the issues in a moment. But when you walk into the clubhouse, they have pictures of all the great champions. You know, Tiger Woods, what year he competed there. And, of course, it's the picture of when they competed. So it's like when I talk about Tiger Woods, like a young Tiger Woods, a young Phil Mickelson. Colin Morikawa won the tournament in 2016. Scottie Scheffler played in it. Ricky Fowler won it twice. You know, they had, I mean, you'd just going there you'd love because those are all the people that have won there. So.
Have not made it. It has been on my list, and you know, I hate to invite myself, but I feel like I'm doing that right now.
Sometimes you have to do things. I'm a big proponent. I always have been of like, okay, you look out there and who's there, and you work with who's there. But part of reporting is, and your job is to report who's not there.
Yep.
And that has been the story this week about who's not there. And I'm sure, you know, let's face it, it'll be the first question that's asked to James Franklin, but there's probably absolutely nothing he can say about it, right?
That's correct. You know, the statement that they left, obviously, we're talking about Jameel Lyons, defensive end, and Kavion Keys, the linebacker, who are under, I believe the term is interim suspension, and to deal with a personal issue, right? That's the official terminology. That's the statement from Penn State. And the, you know, the second half of that statement is Penn State, like, there will be no further comment. It will have to be asked. Franklin will not give any more than that. To be honest with you, there's nothing more to say, right? The situation that they are entangled in is one that they are going to have to deal with as individuals, and until it's resolved in one direction or another, it's purgatory, right? It's status quo. This is just the state of limbo, and I think that broadly speaking, Penn State, as you need to do in situations like this, and even in injury situations where you don't have a timeline on an expected return you just have to proceed, right? You have to proceed as though your backup plan is the new plan.
And so let's go with defensive end. And Zariah Fisher, of course, not ready yet in combination now with Lyons. So what makes that spot interesting? Because, I mean, you can think of four guys right away that have played that, that will fill it. But to me, the key is finding that fifth guy.
Yes, 100%. I think that, you know, certainly just to tick off the names, obviously, Denai Dennis Sutton will return as a starter. Abdul Carter is obviously, you know, going to be paired with him as, you know, those will be the two starters there. Backing them up, you've got Amin Vanover, who has a ton of experience and is good. He's a good, he's a good player.
Sure is.
So I think, I'm sorry, what was that?
I said he sure is. I mean, he is not a star, but he wins games for you.
100%. And then the fourth, right, is I think going to be Smith Vilbert, who is similarly in that vein of not talked about because out of sight, out of mind. I mean, he hasn't played in 2 years, so it's been it's not somebody who's been on the tip of tongues for Penn State fans in a couple of years. He obviously had that Outback Bowl stat performance that really wasn't necessarily indicative of where he was in terms of his trajectory and his talent at that time. But, you know, internally, the sentiment for him over the past, what, Steve? I mean, we talked to Penn State people 6 months, 8 months.
Yeah.
Has been very enthusiastic.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's a situation of panic by any means, but certainly the pressure is more on those two guys, Mean and Smith, to hit, right?
Yeah.
to be capable, reliable, mm-hmm. productive backups to their starters there at end.
Which then brings us to keys. And Tom Allen, as we know, sometimes plays three, but a lot of times plays two. Keys would have lined up with the third group in all likelihood, but you'd still love the luxury of having him. Because of how Tom plays, does that in some way lessen the impact of not having him there?
Yes, I think so. I just think it puts you in a spot where the pressures of figuring out what to do with Abdul come more into focus.
And can I add one more part to that though? Keon Wiley would have been a part of that mix as well, and he's not quite ready yet either. And that does complicate it a bit.
100%. You've lost, you know, Abdul moving out of the room in the first place had its own implications, right? That was something where, okay, Tom Allen's bringing this system in that's probably going to rely more on two linebackers instead of three. You've got Jalen Reed more or less filling a linebacker-esque role this season. But, okay, Abdul's out of the room. It's good that you have flexibility for him, that he can moonlight for you and do different things based on what the opponent calls for. But Keon Wiley's injury, that already stung for Okavion Keys being in limbo right now. And, it is certainly more tenuous than it had been, again, 8 months ago, 7 months ago.
Right. Anything that you're looking for out of Media Day, or is it just something where you just kind of let it come to you and then you figure out what to do with it when it's done?
Yeah, good question. I mean, you know me. I mostly let things come to me. I think that stories kind of present themselves sometimes. And the Penn State football does a very good job of training its coaches and players to respond to the questions that are asked of them. And so if you ask about specific players, they will respond about specific players. If you ask more open-ended questions, right, that allow for some thought and consideration, mm-hmm. you'll get some of that. And so I think going into it with a mindset of, hey, I got to find out about Drew Aller as a leader, right, for instance, as a storyline. If you do that and have that in your mindset, you're going to preclude yourself from learning about some of the other guys that have taken on broader leadership roles mm-hmm. this offseason, right? Or who might be buzzing. I mean, you name it. There's plenty of different narratives out there and storylines that I think everybody's watching, right? What's the vibe this year? Is this a Joe Moorhead fun offense that everyone's rallying around, or are they under the pressure cooker? Right, you name it. There's lots out there of interest, but if you target in on it as a journalist and come into it with the mindset that I'm gonna get responses to specific narratives that I'm trying to write about, I think it shields you and precludes you from learning some of the more interesting things that are out there.
You, of course, part of the job is you do have to communicate on your message board on On3.com and Blue White Illustrated, and you communicate on it all the time. Do you ever ask questions of players or coaches based on something on a message board that you read?
Absolutely. In my mind, I am filling a role that serves as a conduit between the program and the fans that are consuming it. And so it really doesn't matter what my interests are. What are the interests of the fans? What do fans want to know? And so there have been things that come across. And look, like I have my own pool of information to deal with, right? That helps me and informs me in terms of what I'm seeking out. But if the message board community is, clamoring for information on who the fourth or fifth safety will be, yeah, get that. Right. get that information. Try to find out what they're thinking, where their heads are at, and go from there.
How do you want to approach the wide receiver part? Do you just want to talk to them, talk to Marcus? Do you want to talk to the two quarterbacks? I mean, what usually gives you the best indicator of what they think of the receivers?
Yeah, I'll be honest. And I think that we've touched on this before, but I think that James Franklin is a great barometer. I do. I think that he provides an honest assessment more often than not in his public comments about where a group is. And so Marcus Haggins this summer, Andy Kolnicki this summer, and Drew Aller this summer, right? I have conversations with all three of them through the course of the summer. We're all highly complimentary of the progress made in that room. And, Marcus Haggins talking about backs against the wall and, proving people wrong, and Andy Kolnicki talking about, they're going to surprise people. Okay, all of those things, all of those statements are a good indicator of where Penn State is coming from, but it's not a good indicator of where Penn State is. And so to me, when I listen to James Franklin talk about it, it is provided or contextualized in terms of, hey, they have done enough or haven't done enough to beat the teams that they're trying to beat. His post-blue-white game comments, I thought, were remarkably telling.
Yeah.
Because it's not a problem of the receivers being miserable or horrible. They're not a bad group. They right. are fine to win 10 games, mm-hmm. right? Like, they are. Right. There's plenty of talent in that room. There's plenty of ability. And some of those guys that will elevate this year, Caden Saunders, Omari Evans, Liam Clifford, those guys who are elevating will be just fine. That's not the conversation. The conversation and the question at hand based on where this Penn State football program is, can they beat Ohio State? Can they beat Southern Cal? can they beat Wisconsin? And, you know, we're going to find that out through the course of the season, but it's, to me, that is the angle, that is the side of this that doesn't really have an answer, and I'm not sure we're going to have an answer until those games actually happen, but it's going to be interesting to see tomorrow where they are on that timeline.
Yeah, I'll quickly say about James Franklin, when I hear him do a presser, post-game, middle of the week, whatever, and you know I'm there. So, believe me, he gives pretty good, straight, direct answers as to what is going on and what he's thinking. He really does. So anybody who thinks it's a sandbag job or anything like that, don't be naive, okay? I mean, it's adorable to be the smart guy at the tailgate, and I'd like to point out over here you might not be.
I'm giving away the game here, Steve, but your Thursday night coaches show interview is, to me, one of the most fruitful things that he does, because he always provides you honest answers. He's more candid. Sure, there are things that he can't talk about or that he won't talk about. And he has a predilection for avoiding a negative slant on things, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But he will provide insights and give a fairly accurate assessment of where things stand within his football program. And I value that greatly. I write coffee to Thursday night all the time.
Well, somebody else who does that is Mike Rhodes, as you know. And they've had some media availabilities as the basketball team gets down to the last, like, 5-6 days of their summer workout schedule. What have you picked up from him about them to this point?
Yeah. I don't know if it's necessarily things he has said that have been as impactful as the things you can see, right, when you're there at practice, mm-hmm. and the things that you can see are that this is a dramatically longer team than what they played with last year. The influx of players, that they've, right, 8 new faces in the program, 4 transfers, 4 incoming freshmen, they're all 6'5 or taller, mm-hmm. right? I think there's one exception to that, but overwhelmingly, these guys are big. Talking about it yesterday, Freddie DeLeon, who can rebound the basketball, right? Provides you a rebounding body at the guard position, right? And not Jalen Pickett style, right?
Mm-hmm.
he can provide you that as a 6'5 guard, and then doesn't have to kick it out to put the ball back up the floor. He can push it himself. It changes what they're able to do. It changes the press to have 6'7", 6'8" wings. It changes the press to have a 7-footer, 7'1" guy in Yannick on the back end of that press. I think they were very purposeful in what they did in the transfer portal, and certainly what they did on the recruiting side of things, including, you know, whether people realize this or not, they could have kept recruiting class of 2024 guys, right? They knew what the numbers were going to be. They understood what the transfer situation was going to be.
Yep.
They said, no, the class can't be bigger than the 4 that they were bringing in, because they needed ready-to-play bodies. They needed ready-to-play guys through the transfer portal that they could count on providing an impact right away. And honestly, across the board, they have that. all 4 of those guys that they brought in from the transfer market are going to play this season.
They will, and not only that, it helps that guys that return. I mean, Ace has been, to be honest with you, Ace has been terrific this summer. Puff Johnson's been terrific this summer. And I'll give you a quote that I hear from him all the time. Every time something happens, he says, hey, look. He says, everybody's got to pick it up. We've got dudes. Right? Well, that's his quote.
Yep.
They have dudes.
Yep. Yep. No, they do. They do. And I think that the first thing you mentioned there, Ace is, I don't want to call it a transformation, but I think certainly his development and maturation has been a massive piece of the puzzle for them.
No question.
This offseason. Right? And I hate to put it in these terms because right? Like, these are kids at the end of the day. I'm a 40-year-old guy, Mike Gundy, right?
Yeah.
So criticizing the speed that someone matures at is stupid. I choose not to do that. But it is important for Penn State basketball to have Ace be that guy. And I think from the onset, from, you know, thinking back to my interview with Mike at Coaches versus Cancer, he let it out there and said, hey, Ace, you need more from Ace. Like, from that position, from the best player on your team, from a guy who has that type of competitive streak and that type of productivity, you need him to be something different than what he was last year in terms of team chemistry, leadership, all of those intangibles. And I think very much he has fulfilled that side of things, and it is paying off dividends for them this summer.
Always a pleasure. Look forward to seeing you.
Hey, thanks so much. I'll see you tomorrow.
Nate Bauer, this half hour brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing, they can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by NIL Game Changers, your stop for name, image, and likeness opportunities. Businesses, athletes, they'll help you. Begin your journey today at NILGameChangers.org. Very pleased to bring in Ben Jones, Ben, welcome. It's great to know that you're still covering all of this because you're one of the best. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, Steve, thanks for having me, and they couldn't kill me off yet, so I'm still kicking.
If you don't mind, could you at least give everybody an idea, if it's okay, as to how all this played out for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on how closely you follow my life, which I hope is not too many people because I'm not that interesting. But about 2 years ago, I moved to Minnesota with my now fiance because she got a job out here. So I've been covering Penn State, a combination of remotely and a lot of flights back in the fall for home football games and road football games. And obviously when everybody is up in the Minnesota area, I tend to just appear out of nowhere for Penn State athletic events here as well.
But, you know, I know every time – see, I always see you basketball at Williams Arena, so.
Yeah, exactly. They just kind of appear out of the concession stand. But, no, I mean, you know, also good things come to an end with statecollege.com. They wanted somebody more local, but nevertheless, I you know, have more things to say, more stories to tell. So I kicked up a Substack, which is basically sort of like Patreon for writers. So covering Penn State there while I do some other things up here in the Twin Cities area. But glad to still be around. It'll be an exciting year for Penn State in a lot of different areas, certainly football, basketball, and others. So glad to still be part of the ecosystem. It would be weird to be doing anything else.
So will you be still traveling here to State College time to time with this new role, or is it mostly finding them when they're on the road, when they go to Minnesota, go to Purdue, places like that?
Yeah, I think it'll be a little bit of both. I mean, my parents still live in State College, so it's always nice to, and contrary to popular belief, you are not my dad, so I think it is it's good to be able to get back there, so it'll be a little bit of both, but just I had to dispel that rumor in case it was still out there. Dave Jones is not my dad either, so it's
Oh, gee, I was just hoping for older brother. But, okay. All right, so now let's get to this football team. The USA Today poll came out, the coaches' poll, so they'll start out at number 9. When you look at how they have built to this point, in your opinion, just based on paper here, paper there, are they built in such a way where they can be a playoff team?
I think so. I mean, I think that they have all the pieces. Now, I think that last year, in some ways, not defensively and not really on special teams, but I think offensively, there's going to need to be a little bit of seeing is believing in terms of the wide receiver room sort of stepping up in terms of you know, I think the running backs were better than they got credit for, but I think that they still want more of those explosive plays. I don't think there's any question. So I think so. I mean, I think that obviously the narrative has been forever that, you know, if the playoffs were expanded a few years ago, Penn State would have made it a few more times. So I think that there's no question that they've got the pieces. But I think, like everybody really in the country this time of year, outside of a few programs, you go, you know, seeing is believing, but I think at the end of the day, if you bring back a lot of good defensive pieces, if you have continuity at quarterback, if you have continuity with some of your playmakers, you're going to win a lot of games. And I think, you know, if you look at the schedule itself, Penn State's got a lot of favorable games, I would say. And I think the fact that a lot of the teams in the Big Ten that are sort of comparable to Penn State, I think in some ways have more questions than Penn State does. And I think that any time that you can go into a year feeling good about all three phases, you know, it's certainly a step in the right direction.
Is it at least refreshing, as a word, to talk about a team, a season, after going through an off season where nobody talked about games? It was always about money.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's nice to get back to the sport itself. And obviously, you know, college athletics has always been, I've always found that, you know, covering a college football team or a college athletic department is as much about the business as it is the games itself. But I do think that it's nice to kind of get back to that time of year where it's like, you know, let's talk about the defensive line, or let's talk about receivers, or let's talk about coaching changes, and not so much let's talk about, you know, TV deals and media rights. And, you know, I've always been a proponent of, I think NIL is in the long run a good thing, but it's nice to not have to talk about that too. So, yeah, I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to to these games starting, as I think everybody is at this point.
Okay, when you look at this team, what are a couple of areas where right away you say, boy, I see a lot of pluses there, and then a couple of areas that bring with you pause about this team?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that you look at the linebackers and you have to feel pretty good about the depth that they've got there. I think the fact that Abdul Carter is going to kind of do a little bit of everything, you know, even if he's made this change to defensive end, it's hard to imagine, and James has said as much somewhat recently, that he's going to get time at linebacker. I think everyone's excited to see what Tony Rojas can do. And then obviously, you know, I think Kobe King is another guy that they're excited about continuing to make that next step. And I think the question mark is, you know, Steve, you and I have been around for a while. When people say that you have a lot of options, that sometimes means that you don't have a lot of answers. And right, I think that there are a lot of guys in that wide receiver room that on paper you can go, I expect Trey Wallace to be really good. I expect Julian Fleming to be good. I think Caden Saunders can be good. Amari Evans, that you can go up and down that list and go, I can see and make an argument for each one of these guys being a solid piece of Penn State's offense, but they just have to go out and do it. And I think that, you know, we saw, and I guess it was 2018, you know, Trace McSorley sort of showcased how you can have all the talent in the world yourself, but if people drop passes, you can only get so many first downs. And I think we saw last year, not quite as bad, but just sort of an inconsistency. And in their defense, you know, some of that was Drew, some of it was, you know, coaching, some of it was a little bit of everything. When your offense struggles in moments, it's not normally just one person or one unit, but I do think that there is a question mark. And really for the first time, I think, in a long time, because I think Penn State's receivers historically under James Franklin, there's always been sort of the Parker Washington, Jahan Dotson, Chris Godwin guy that you can go, KJ Hamler, guy that you can kind of lean on and say that's where they're going to go to. So I think that's maybe the one spot offensively. And obviously, I think just from a reloading standpoint, you can't get rid of the guys they got rid of on the offensive front and say, well, that won't be an area that they need to solve, because you don't get rid of a guy like Olu and just replace him with someone else without any sort of hiccups. So I think the good news for Penn State is that the areas that they need to sort of answer are areas where you go, I can see where the answers might come from. But I think there are also areas where you're just going to have to wait and see how they do when the lights are on.
I want to tap into where you live here for the moment, because you do have the perspective of what Penn State fans and what they think about expansion with Oregon, Washington, USC, UCLA. But since you're in Minnesota, anybody up there that you've talked to, what do they think of it?
I think they're just glad that the hockey conferences aren't getting messed with again, to be perfectly honest with you. But I think there's an excitement. I think that obviously, you know, PJ Fleck is a guy that a lot like James sort of lives on the charisma and the sort of enthusiasm. I think PJ might be starting to lap James at this point in terms of his sort of demeanor in that regard. But I think there's an excitement there. Obviously, you know, you think of the last time that Penn State went out to the cities, that was quite the atmosphere, quite a fun game. So I think the Minnesota fans are definitely excited about, from a basketball perspective, from a football perspective, to have some new faces in here. I don't remember off the top of my head which teams are coming up to Minneapolis this year, but it should be entertaining. But, yeah, I mean, everybody jokes about, you know, being the state of hockey, and I think people make that joke when they don't live in Minnesota but haven't been here. It's very much true. So I think they're just glad that, you know, as much room as the Big Ten could use for having an even number of teams in the conference, I think they're glad that things are the status quo right now there.
Yeah, status quo in men's ice hockey and also status quo in wrestling. I mean, nothing changed for either one of them with the addition of the four teams. What's your perspective on seeing how an 18-school conference works?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you and I tend to talk about the football and the basketball because it tends to be the thing that people care about the most. I think the thing that will be interesting to me is how they manage the rest of it, you know, in terms of softball, in terms of tennis, in terms of track and field, in terms of volleyball, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I think people are not always in tune with the fact that you say, like, Penn State baseball spends a ton of time away from home, where they will just disappear to Florida or California for a while and come back. And I think it's sort of this one-off kind of thing. But I think the challenge really for schedule makers, the challenge for, you know, athletic departments that are trying to figure out how to make it all work is how do you travel all these other teams? Because football and basketball will be fine. They kind of pay for themselves. They don't play that many games to a certain respect. But it's a challenge for everybody else. And I think it's an interesting challenge for, you know, maybe the athletic departments that aren't quite like Penn State. People tend to forget that in a roundabout way, Maryland and Rutgers joined the Big Ten because there was a lot more money to be made for two athletic departments that were making a ton of money. So if you look at a place that goes, you know, we're not printing, you know, Penn State football makes $100 million every year, not revenue or not profit, but certainly revenue. Athletic departments that don't necessarily have that backbone, how are they going to make it all work? And, you know, I think that'll be the challenge of everyone moving forward as these conferences get bigger is how do you make it make sense for TV and media rights and sort of footprint? But at the same time, how do you make it make sense for all the other athletic programs that you're driving and flying around the country?
Yeah, because and the audience has heard me talk about this before, but when I was in Florida, I had back-to-back speaking engagements, Jacksonville on a Friday night, Daytona Beach on a Saturday. And naturally, one of the questions I did receive, because I was in Florida, was about expanding to 20 schools. And Ben, my answer was simple. I said, guys, I want to see how 18 works first, because nobody's had 18 before. And you know, I know a lot of people want to jump the gun on something, but I think you need to pump the brakes until you make sure that this model works before you attempt another model.
Yeah, no, I think that's really true, and I think that's especially true when you've got a conference like the Big Ten that's now so, you know, stretched out. I think it'd be one thing if they had gone and added, I don't want to give anybody an aneurysm, but, you know, Pitt and West Virginia had joined the Big Ten instead of USC and UCLA or something like that. You know, I think it would be different. But when you have when you no longer have a regional footprint, and to a certain extent the Big Ten's always sort of struggled with where exactly its center is, you know, I think that definitely is one of those things that, you know, I saw people at, I think it was SEC Media Days, asking about are they going to expand the playoffs again, and it's basically like, you know, they got to get through the first couple of years of figuring out what this is like before it works. And I think we've seen throughout the changes that have happened in college athletics, be NIL or the transfer portal, that it takes a year or two for the market, so to speak, to kind of settle into what works. So, you know, are there programs out there that would make sense to join the Big Ten to give it 20? Probably. But at the same time, I think you've got to make sure that you're not running headfirst into a wall at 120 miles an hour before you start loading up in the back of the truck.
Back to this particular football team, when you look at the depth part of it, are there a couple of positions where no matter really what happens, they can survive depth-wise if they were to get a rash of injuries at a spot? And is there a spot or two when you look at the team where like, okay, it's a little thin in your opinion, and it would be a fight to survive it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the offensive line, you want to be able to have continuity there. So I think that, you know, they have options that they can work with, but I think realistically, you know, we've seen historically that the teams that are able to make it through the season with the same line are able to win a lot of games and able to win big games. I think that, you know, there's questions at corner and safety just in terms of who's going to do what, but I think they feel pretty good about the depth there, maybe along the defensive front. But yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing that's changed about Penn State over the last, you know, 11 years now, and really the last seven or so, is just the ability to have guys ready to go. Because I think that's really been historically the difference between Penn State and, say, Ohio State at Ohio State's sort of peak the last few years, is that, you know, Penn State's able to field teams with good number one players, guys at the top of the depth chart at just about every position are about as good as Ohio State's players, plus or minus.
Right.
I think the big difference has just been program depth, and I think Penn State is probably as deep in some areas as some of the programs they'd like to be like. And, you know, I think everybody's always fighting to have complete depth. But, yeah, to answer your actual question, I think the offensive front, defensive line, those are areas where you always want to feel healthy and strong. But, you know, they've been able to put themselves in a pretty good position to load in people that, at least on paper, you would think would be able to do the job.
Schematically, for a moment, Tom Allen, look, there'll be times he'll play three linebackers. We know that. But we know that a lot of what he did at Indiana was essentially, especially with Marcelo Ball, was play a 4-2-5 with Ball, who wore number 9 for Indiana back in the day, being like a hybrid player. When you look at Penn State's personnel, how well does that fit that model based on personnel?
Yeah, I mean, I think it speaks a little bit to the idea that Abdul Carter is going to be all over the place. I think it speaks a little bit to the fact that they feel good about Tony Rojas in that linebacker room and the fact that they feel like they have a lot of depth in the secondary. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, the challenge that you have if you're James Franklin making a hire like this is you want to balance the reality that Penn State's defense through all of this, through all the changes that have happened, has been really good. It doesn't really matter who the defensive coordinator is or what time of year it is or who they're playing. You know, I've said for a while now, until Penn State has a bad defense, I'm just going to start off with my assumption of it being good. So I think that you want to bring in things that are a characteristic of something new or something maybe a little bit different that sort of speak to the sensibilities of that coordinator. But at the same time, I think you want to be able to be maintaining continuity year over year with what works. And it's a weird situation for Tom Allen to be in because there's a lot more room in a roundabout way for the defense to be worse than better than it was last year. So I think it's a combination of, you know, what are his sensibilities and also what has Penn State found a lot of success doing. And I think really at every position, they feel good about the talent and the options that they have. And I think that gives them a lot more flexibility to do a lot more things.
West Virginia a year ago finished 9-4. That will be the opener this time in Morgantown. What is your view of that game?
I think first and foremost, they're glad it's not at night. You know, yes. If you're Penn State, to be able to play that game when everyone's still more hungover than they would be at 8 p.m., I think is a very frank plus for Penn State. But, yeah, I mean, I think West Virginia, obviously on the national stage, didn't necessarily have a remarkable year, but I think compared to what people expected out of West Virginia, I think they had a very solid year last year, were able to put up some good results, and even in some of their losses, play well. So it's going to be a good test. I think, you know, it's a good thing for Penn State that institutionally they've had, outside of that Indiana game, have had a lot of success opening the season on the road at hostile places or against teams that are a little bit better than your average week one opponent. So it's definitely going to be a good test, but, you know, you look at Penn State's schedule, it's not short of tests and they're short on tests. And I think that, you know, at the end of the day, you look at these two teams and I think you can make a pretty good argument that Penn State's the better of the two, and I think that result will hold, but that doesn't mean they won't have to earn it.
Ben, always a pleasure. Thrilled that you're very much involved in the game, and you know, I think everybody on the beach is really happy that some things fell into place for you, that you're right there.
Well, I appreciate you having me, and appreciate your support, and I look forward to talking to you later, Dad.
Anytime, son. Ben Jones, statecollege.com. No, he's not my son. All right. He's not my son. Just so you know. But Ben does a lot of good work, quality work along the way. And find out that he was able to, you know, end up landing on his feet and still covering the beat. That's great. And you know, they have a lot of great beat writers around here, many of which I had a chance to talk with on Saturday, as a matter of fact, at Media Day. But happy for Ben. And always gives us great perspective on the show. And every time we ask, he always shows up on the show. So we appreciate that very much. I know later in the week we are working, by the way, on getting Chris Raymond on the show. And Todd's been working on this. But yeah, Men in White is the name of the book. I think it's out this week. So we're working on getting that. So, yeah, we'll get it done. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, your ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities, whether it's a business or an athlete. Start your journey today at NILGameChangers.org here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.